This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hey, I'm Sarah Bivens.
And I'm Matthew Bivens.
And this is the Doing It at Home podcast, the only podcast dedicated to empowering, loving, and honest conversations around home birth. What started as a fun way for us to document our own home birth journey has turned into a platform for sharing birth stories, resources, and education with the goal of empowering mamas and families to make the birth decisions that work best for them.
Plus, we get into the antics, breakdowns, and breakthroughs of our own experience of marriage and parenthood.
All right. You ready, babe?
Yep. Let's do it, mama.
Hey, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. Big, huge, gigantic thank you from myself, Matthew, and Maya, all of us over here at Team Bivens, for listening to the podcast, being a part of the community. It just means so much to us, and it's also just an exciting, humbling process to have you here listening, whether this is your first episode. If it is, welcome. So glad you found us. Let us know that you found us. Let us know how you found us. We always like to hear, you know, whether it was just the search in the bar of home birth podcasts, or a friend recommended it, or your midwife or doula or someone. We just love to hear how you're coming on the scene, and we want to get you engaged and connected with other members of the community, and we want to hear from you. So if you are new, or if you're not, but you just didn't know of all the ways to connect, please do so. We have our Instagram, DIAH Podcast. We have our Facebook page, Doing It at Home. We have our private Facebook group. All those links are in the show notes. You'll also find those if you go to our Instagram page in our little link tree thing that's there, that little doohickey will get you set up in all the ways to connect with us. And let's see, is there something else about how you can connect with? Oh, you want to be connected with us? Hi, hello, hashtag mom brain. It happens. Because there are a lot of cool things coming down the pipeline. Myself and Matthew, we are working, I don't want to say hard, because it is hard. We are working hard, but we're so passionate about it, it doesn't feel like hard work. We are putting more of our time and energy into doing it at home these days, into really building out this community even more and bringing more to you. So that's what we're doing. And one of the things you can look forward to that's going to be coming sooner, hopefully, rather than later, the book, the Doing It at Home book it's coming. So you want to make sure you are following us and subscribed and all the ways that, you know, you will hear when it's available and when it's out there and any updates as it pertains to it. So make sure you are on our email list from our website. Make sure you're following us on social media, because that's where we'll be sharing upcoming stuff. So yeah, there's that. And let's see, gosh, I just had another bomb brain moment. Anyway, I know you can relate, right? Especially if you're pregnant right now. But to that point, if you are pregnant right now and planning for your home birth and you have a mix of emotions and things going on for you, just know that we are thinking about you and we're sending love. You might be excited. You might be a little scared. You might be a little nervous. It could be any mixed bag of those things. And it could be one emotion at the beginning of the day and one emotion at the end of the day. And just know that we are here for you and we are sending you love and support as you navigate your journey, as you utilize your support systems and ask the questions, advocate for yourself. You know, that's the space that we're holding for you here. So just big hug from us over here and sending you love. Okay, birth story time. So question for you, how active can labor and birth be? Yes. You might find a different answer depending on the different birth experience. You know, sometimes you hear about mothers being moving around a lot during their birth, and then others who prefer to just stay still, or that's just how the situation calls for it. So all the variations of normal, you gotta love it. Well, today's guest, Nicola Poole, she shares the story of her 36-hour labor home birth with her daughter, Gabrielle. And during those 36 hours, Nicola did a lot of body work to help move baby into optimal position because her head was a little off center. So that included a lot of walking around, Bozo work, spinning babies techniques. And on top of the birth story, we also discuss the details of making the decision to have a home birth and some of the intricacies and the process of selecting care and making plans where Nicola lives, specifically in Victoria, Australia. So for those US listeners, you know, or anywhere else in the world, to get that different perspective is just always really cool to hear how birth is being held and the process of it is so different around the world, or can be. And we also talk about some breastfeeding challenges that popped up after giving birth that resulted in a month stay in the hospital for baby Gabrielle, and how Nicola moved through that powerfully. So it's an amazing conversation. Thank you so much to Nicola for joining us. Quick word from our sponsor, and then we will hear Nicola's story.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame, so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, Nicola. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Sarah. How are you?
Wonderful.
Yes, we are doing fantastic here, and we are very, very excited to talk to you and very grateful that you would carve out some time, because we know it's evening where you are. It's morning for us, but it's evening for you. So thank you, Nicola.
Sure is. Thank you, Matthew.
Can you share a little bit about yourself and where you live and what you're up to?
Of course. So yeah, my name's Nicola. I live in Mount Martha, which is on the Mornington Peninsula in Victoria, Australia. So I'm about an hour out of the city of Melbourne. I'm a currently stay-at-home single mum to my beautiful daughter, Gabrielle, who turned one on Tuesday. So we've had some very fun, exciting celebrations, and obviously some limited catch-ups at this stage just because of current restrictions in Australia with our coronavirus current state of affairs, but we've been making the most of it nonetheless. And unfortunately some of the work I was doing earlier in the year I've had to stop because of the restrictions here, but that's good because it means I get lots more time with my beautiful girl.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Love that perspective.
That's yeah.
Very cool. And what a nice timing. We were chatting for a second before we officially started the interview, you know, to celebrate her birthday, your birthday, and then to be talking about it all, you know, within about a week of it is pretty neat, you know, and that year mark, I feel like in particular is really rich reflection. It's really rich kind of feelings and emotions that come up with it. Would you agree?
Totally agree. It's really special timing. I did spend the day on her actual birthday doing a lot of reflecting and writing to her, and also at the exact time of the birth, going back through all of my birth photos, because we were lucky enough to have a doula and photographer. She was sort of a two-in-one beautiful friend lady as a part of our birth team. So I had a massive spectrum of photos to reflect on, and brought back so much of the emotion on the day, but then also, you know, the emotions and the roller coaster ride that it's been since she came back into the world. And yeah, it took me by surprise. It just, I guess, how emotional it was for me, but it was really lovely.
What's beautiful is after this conversation, you're going to have the, you know, recorded story to share with her as well.
Sure.
Which would be great.
Special, yeah.
So special.
Definitely. So home birth for you, Nicola, how did that come into play? And I'd also like if you could share a little bit of perspective, because I'm not super familiar, but in Australia, for instance, or maybe where you live in Australia, because Australia is huge, as we were just looking at the map a second ago, I forget how huge it is. So maybe there's even variations within all of Australia, but is home birth a first round option for most women? Is it as accessible? You know, I want to kind of get a feel of the climate of that.
Sure. So yes, no, okay. Home birth is not something that's common here. It's not something that is readily accessible. It's actually become harder and harder as different policies have come into place over the last few years, in particular, just with the insurances that the private midwives need. So it's become less and less desirable for private midwives to go down the home birth track because of their lack of insurance for them. So, and also the expense of it. So yeah, it was something that I was not brought up with. I don't know anyone who's had a home birth. I certainly didn't have any reference to it growing up. I was brought up in a very mainstream, conventional sort of family, very much involved in the medical industry. I worked within the medical and healthcare industry for 10 years. So it was more my own sort of spiritual journey that led me down that more holistic path, I guess, in life, and my own inquisitive nature and curiosity in terms of just what else is out there. And for me, I started looking into home birth well before I even met Gabrielle's dad and we fell pregnant. So it was something that I guess the more I learned about natural healthcare and looked into history, the more I just believed in women's ability to birth. We've done it for thousands and thousands of years. So and wanting to trust in my own ability, I guess, and do things as intervention free as possible was something that was really important to me. So when we did find out we had fallen pregnant, it was a no-brainer for me. I'd already done a lot of research in home birth, and the only thing I needed to do then was start finding a midwife, which was then another journey in itself, because I didn't know that it was actually a very rare thing in Australia to have an elective home birth. It's something like, I can't remember the exact stats, but it's less than 3% of mothers in Australia elect to have a home birth.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the same here in the States.
Yeah, I think the States is actually about one. That might be a little outdated. And that could change a little bit with the current world events. It is. So similar.
And that shocked me. I was surprised to find that it was such a small number. I thought there would be more, but yeah.
Can you recall, you know, you said you were pretty clear once you became pregnant because you had done some of the research or you had explored. Can you remember one or two either resources or things that stick out for you that were a part of that process, whether it was a book or a documentary or a website?
Your podcast was definitely one of them.
Awesome.
Because I had, I'd been listening to podcasts again before I'd met Dale and fallen pregnant. So I'd been researching that, and I can't think of any websites, but well-adjusted baby. So I've sort of been in the chiropractic world for a while and receiving adjustments. And that was a book that someone had recommended to me. And I know that they talked about home birth in there. So there was a few books and, yeah, and then podcasts that I'd been searching for and seeking out or had been recommended. And that was giving me more and more insight into what I thought would be the best decision for me and my future family.
That's great. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And it's awesome to be on the list.
Yeah.
Of influencers. I love it.
We totally didn't like ask you to say that.
No. And you know, it's cool. The only book I think I read completely when I was pregnant with Maya was Gentle Birth, Gentle Mothering by Sarah Buckley. Australian native, and we actually got to have her on the show a while back.
She was one of our early guests.
Yes. So, you know, an Australian resource was one of my very few.
Love it.
Yes. So, okay. So pregnant, going for home birth, but you said finding midwives and kind of getting those puzzle pieces together was the next step. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so, you know, good old Google search. I did have a friend that I was able to ask, but a midwife at the time, yeah, it was really hard because of where we live, a bit further out of Melbourne. Not many midwives came down to this area to service it. So in the state of Victoria, of which, again, this is going to test my knowledge and stats, but it's the second largest city in the country. So we do have quite a large population here, but in that there's only 18 practicing private midwives as of 2018. So this is a couple of years ago now when I was seeking that out. So there weren't many to choose from, and of those, a lot of them wouldn't come down to where we live. So it was a little bit of a, you know, we only had a couple of choices. And for me, it's always important to meet with someone, and the midwives here are very passionate about that too, you know, meeting with any prospective mothers and just making sure that you gel and have that rapport, which is really important because you need to be able to have full trust in them at your birth. So we had a first midwife and that didn't work out. I won't go into that, but there were some legal reasons why she had to sort of pause her practice. So we were then forced to find another one, but I'm a big believer in everything happens for a reason. And that worked out to be the best thing for us. And she was really amazing. And the way that the setup is here is that there has to be two midwives. So we sort of, you can have two of them doing 50-50, or you can have a primary one and sort of a secondary one, but there has to be two legally at the birth.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we had those, we actually had our doula in place first. I was really keen to get a doula because I was, again, you know, not knowing, I only knew one person at that stage. She'd had a home birth, but was really keen to have the most support and wisdom I could at the birth, and very quickly also decided that I just wanted my immediate birth team. So that consisted of the father and so Dale and the two midwives and my doula, who was also a photographer.
Ooh, that's a great intimate double duty, a doula and photographer.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
that's amazing to have in one person. That's awesome. Yeah. I love that. How was response or any feedback from friends and family? You know, you being working in the hospital for 10 years, like you mentioned, kind of having a more traditional upbringing, was that something at all for you in the process?
Not so much. I think whilst, you know, friends and family hadn't gone down the home birth track themselves, they all sort of were really supportive of my decision. They all knew that I was so passionate about more natural, intervention-free healthcare and obviously birth as well. So I'm really lucky and grateful to have such supportive family and friends that they know that I do a lot of research and I make decisions believing that, you know, they're best, and they are happy to support that. So, no, I didn't have any issues or anyone questioning it. I guess it was more surprise, and I found it was more people or acquaintances or people I didn't know so much when they would see me pregnant, and then one of the first questions everyone would ask is, where are you having the baby? And when I would respond with at home, they'd go, huh? What? And so, like, so many people didn't even know you could do that, or would just think I was then crazy, because why would you when you've got a hospital? And so it was, yeah, probably more the third party outside of people that I would come into contact with throughout the pregnancy that had the more shocked responses that, yeah, surprised me even.
Gotcha. Well, I just want to take a second to acknowledge you, Nicola, in that how grounded you must have been and are, you know, as a person and the choices that you make in your life, you know, to create that sort of result in how friends and family responded. Like you said, there had been this established kind of knowingness and pattern of the choices that you make and how you do things and the way you go about it. So I think that's really awesome. And not to say that someone couldn't be grounded and then family and friends could still be WTF, but I just think it's really great that it worked out that way for you, you know, specifically. I think that's really sweet.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, I'm ready for a birth story. I don't know about you, Matthew. So let's take a quick break. And when we come back, let's hear about baby time. Okay, Nicola. So walk us through birth day.
Okay. So I was a couple of days past my due date, but I was also, you know, very content with that. I had done a lot of work throughout the pregnancy to get my head around that it's very unlikely baby will come on due date, and being my first as well, very likely that I would go over. So we booked a beautiful lunch on the actual, you know, predicted forecast, or, you know, whatever guest date that you want to call it. And that was lovely. So I had no expectations. And then, yeah, a couple days later, I woke up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom and went back to bed and sort of noticed some cramping. And I was lying there going, okay, you know, I'd had a few Braxton Hicks before, but this felt a little bit different. And my mind started going a bit crazy. So I just laid there, and before I knew it, you know, about 4 hours had passed and I hadn't gone back to sleep. So I started timing these cramps and found that they were quite regular. So it was about 5 a.m., probably maybe closer to 6 at that point, that I decided to wake up Dale and tell him that I think this is the early stages of labor. So I was excited and nervous, and it was like this real polarity of, you know, wanting to meet my baby. We also chose not to find out the gender, so we left that as a surprise. And so there was the excitement, but then also the, oh gosh, am I ready? So yeah, we got up and called the birth team around 7 just to let them know. But I was really comfortable, and I had my list of things to do, you know, for the day, so that I had the had my mind on different things, and I wasn't just focused and getting worried or anything like that. So I needed to go to the post office to send something off. So we were walking distance from the local post office. So I walked around there, and that was a really surreal feeling. It was like this knowing that I was having these contractions, yet this whole world outside of me was still existing and going on, and had no idea as I stood in line at the post office contracting that I was, you know, hours away from giving birth.
That's so cool. An epic secret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes. So we just kept that day as normal as possible. It was a Saturday here. So it was, May the 4th. Last year, 2019, and the day went on pretty uneventfully. I had a bloody show, so yeah, knew for sure I was in labor. And as the day went on, it got toward the evening, and things were starting to ramp up a bit. So I decided it was time to sort of let the midwives and doula know that I was ready for them to be there with us. And we'd had a birth pool organized, so we'd blown that up, and I was just getting everything ready. We had a long list of items that we needed to prepare for the home birth. So I was organizing all of that, and then I was getting later, about 8 p.m. into the evening, try and rest. But no, things were getting pretty intense for me. So My team arrived around 10 o'clock that night. So by this stage, I'd been in sort of labor for, I guess, that I was aware of for around 22 hours. And they got there and we filled up the birth pool and I hopped in and I'm such a water baby. So that was just divine for me. I loved being in the warm water. Nice. And and it was just beautiful. We had, you know, the dim lighting and I had my playlist on and it was really calm and peaceful and kind of surreal at the same time too. But it was all of the things I wanted, which was I was so grateful for. And then things sort of weren't progressing. So the midwives had asked if they could do an internal check. So that's not so common, I guess, with the midwives that practice here. They, you know, if that in the discussions leading up to the birth, we talked a lot about being pretty hands off and just letting me do my thing. But because things weren't moving on, they asked if they could do a check. So around midnight, discovered I was only about 6 centimeters dilated and baby's head was slightly off center. So that's when all the body work began. So thankfully I have some really experienced midwives and doula who were able to coach me through a whole lot of body work. So that meant all sorts of things, which included walking up and down the staircase while I was contracting, doing some Rebozo work and doing a lot of the spinning babies techniques. So I don't know if you guys, I guess spinning babies is pretty global now, but
yeah. I don't know what that is. Tell me what it, yes, describe
go,
it.
Go ahead, please, Nicola.
it's sort of different yoga techniques, but yeah, different ways of positioning the body to try and get the baby into the optimal position. So yeah, one move in particular that I remember doing off the edge of the bed during labor is sort of putting your forearms on the ground and hanging over the side of the bed upside down just to drop the baby sort of out of the pelvis so that then when you come back up the right way, so it's like a type of inversion that you're doing. So when you come back up the right way, hopefully they get into the optimal position.
Oh, wow. So your feet were on the bed and your forearms were on the ground?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was pretty full on because They were some pretty intense positions to get into during labor. They're much more manageable when you're not having contractions, but mm-hmm. Yeah, put the contractions in there too. And there was a lot of discomfort going on, but again, I had such trust in my team that I was willing to give anything a go. And I was so determined to have this home birth and the way I wanted it that, you know, you do what you've got to do. So this went on for quite a few hours, however. So I was sort of in and out of the pool a couple of times. I got checked internally again a couple of times and there wasn't any massive change. So kept doing the body work. I ended up having a bit of a, they suspect a bit of a hind water break. So this would have been, I don't know, maybe at the 28, 30 hour mark. So, because when they'd been checking me, they found it really hard to feel where the baby's head was positioned as well, because the waters were still intact. Every time they would check, her head would sort of bounce back into me. So that became a little bit tricky too. But, 36 hours later, I was back in the pool and started getting the urge to push. So a good half an hour of pushing, and that was the other part that I guess I wasn't as ready for. I'd watched a lot of gentle birthing, even some orgasmic birthing videos online, and was like, yeah, you know, I've done lots of breath work and meditation and yoga over the years. I'll just breathe my baby out and it will be beautiful and calm and peaceful. No, I was screaming and I'm thinking, my gosh, I live in a complex of like 40 townhouses. I'm thinking everyone's going to be able to hear me. You know, it's at this stage, it's the following day. So it's Sunday at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon and I'm in the pool screaming at the top of my lungs trying to bring this baby into the world. But she came and it was actually quite an interesting birth, because the first thing to come out was her water sac. Oh. So the midwives were fascinated, yeah, and the doula was taking photos because, yes, the sac appeared first. Wow. And I hadn't seen or heard of anything like this. So when they said for me to reach down and have a feel, it felt like a water balloon between yeah. my legs.
Yeah. This is not a baby.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, like, yeah, what's this? How does this work? What's going on now? Like, yeah, not a baby, but this, I don't know, maybe slightly larger than a tennis ball water balloon thing. And I think that kind of freaked me out a little bit in the moment too, because when she did come out, I pushed and her head came out, and on the next contraction I pushed so hard her whole body flew out so quick that I was actually in quite a bit of shock. And the midwife, they're saying, you know, reach down and grab her, and I couldn't move, I froze. So the midwife had to sort of scoop her and put her to my chest. But yeah, it's amazing looking back at the photos, because we have sort of really close shots of the emergence and her coming out that you can really see and recall then what happened with so much detail, which is just beautiful.
Oh, that's amazing.
I find that would be helpful too, because that moment can come with it so much, right? And it might blur a little bit of how you might remember how you feel, but the actual turn of events might get muddled. And so to have that, I think is really neat in terms of integrating the whole experience, you know. So for those who are kind of borderline on choosing a photographer, you know, we didn't have an official photographer for Maya's birth, and we're very keen on having one for any future births. And, you know, even for, I've heard from both moms and photographers, when it comes to some of those, shall we call them the close-up shots, you know, of the actual event, you know, sometimes moms aren't sure if they want that. But I say just have the photographer go for it anyway, and you can always choose not to have them, right? Not to keep them. But you never know when looking back on that moment, you know, it could give you a piece of something that could help in terms of integrating the experience or remembering it.
No, I totally agree. And I was of very much the same opinion, I guess, as well. I'm not actually a big photo taker myself. I'm not one that's constantly behind my phone. But when it came to the birth, I felt like I wanted the option there. I wanted to know that the photos would be there if I wanted them. But at any time as well, we discussed with her, you know, leading up to the birth, I could just say no, stop. Right. Or like you said, you know, you don't then have to have those photos printed, or you don't have to, you know, show them to anyone. So I liked the fact that I had that option. And in hindsight, would definitely do it all again. It's been so worth it. And even having the time printed on the photos as well, because of, you know, obviously all the technology now, they, with the digital cameras, they captured the time that each photo was taken. So we were, because I had quite a long labor and my birth team were here for nearly 24 hours, which was incredible, that we had the time of events and where everything happened, and you can much easier piece things back together if you want to, which really helps with processing everything and integrating, because it's such a massive event and transition.
Wow. I want to go back actually in your labor to when you were having all the body work done, and you were doing Rebozo and you were doing inverted plank holds and all sorts of cool things like that. And you talked about how, you know, some of it was a little challenging, at least mentally, emotionally. Can you share with us what thoughts were going through your mind and how you were able to stay, you know, calm and present, or, you know, how you dealt with whatever thoughts were coming up in your mind as you were experiencing all the different body work?
It was definitely the hardest thing I've ever had to do. It was, I guess it was, for me, it was just the determination. I was so determined to have the home birth that I wanted, so determined to be intervention free and drug free and do what I knew, you know, thousands of mothers had done before me. And so in those times when it was hard and tough, and I'm just sort of thinking to myself, I didn't realize it was going to be like this, and this isn't quite going the way, you know, I had hoped for or as quickly as I thought it would. I kept just staying strong within myself and reminding myself that I've got this and that I can do it and that I'm not the first mother to be doing this, and that I completely trust my team and completely trust their review. And if they felt that it was getting too long or hard, or the baby was in any way in any sort of harm or danger, that they would let me know and that we would then, you know, go to our plan B. So I guess because they never indicated that there was any harm being done to the baby or me, I just kept going and kept doing what they kept asking. And then there was another thing that I thought was really pertinent for me. It was the determination, and just communicating with my baby and having full trust that not knowing it was a she, but now knowing that she would come when she was ready and that it was going to be her birth the way that she needed it to be, not the way I needed it to be. So trusting that she was coming at the right time in the right way, getting herself ready and taking as much time as she needed, because at the end of the day, you know, I had to give over and completely surrender to her and to what was right, and just I guess kept having that check-in and dialogue with her the whole time as well.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
And I'm curious, now that you've been, you know, mom for a year, how has that trust shown up for you over the course of the past year?
Massively. We had a beautiful birth that definitely took a little longer than I was anticipating, but I would do it all again in a heartbeat. It meant that, we could have that time together immediately after birth and really enjoy that newborn bubble. But our bubble was popped 24 hours later when we went into hospital because Gabrielle wasn't correctly latching and feeding. So she, whilst had really good Apgar scores, when the midwife came back the following day, it was clear she wasn't liking things in her mouth. So going into hospital meant that we ended up there for a month, which was the last thing that I wanted. But I had to keep trusting in the fact that this was her journey and our journey now together, and that this was what was meant to be, and we had to learn from this. And I guess for me, having the home birth and having that unfold and the sense of self-pride in knowing that I did it was what kept me then going through that difficult month and the year that's been with her health journey. So I have so much trust in her and her ability, but I've had to also really trust my own intuition and mother, you know, sense along the way too, because we've had so many different external influences and people trying to give their advice that it has been quite a tricky road to navigate the past year. So having the birth that I had always wanted has given me that solid foundation that it feels like I can overcome anything as a result.
Mm. Oh my gosh.
Powerful.
That's a, wow. That's a goosebump one for me.
So was she in the hospital for a month, or were you all going back and forth for a month? How was it?
She was in the hospital for a month and I was there with her. I refused to leave. So I went in, we drove to the hospital ourselves and went presented to the emergency department. And by the time we were triaged, she actually had an apnea episode on the table after being there for a couple of hours. So we were escalated and then transferred to a children's hospital up in the city quite quickly. And we're just going in thinking that we would have a routine checkup and just get everything checked off and that it'd be something simple, turned into a month of a whole lot of tests and actually no formal diagnosis at the end either. So she's a little bit of an anomaly, and we're I'm just so grateful for my years in the healthcare industry and working in hospitals around Australia, because again, it gave me the knowledge and I guess ability to work with the healthcare professionals there and not just take everything that they say at face value and to really ask questions and push a few boundaries, because again, we were really wanting as much intervention free start to life for her, and it wasn't meant to be exactly that way. But I keep coming back to that birth and how amazing that was. And then, you know, so grateful for my team, because my midwives were in the hospital with me, supporting me. My doula came in to visit. They were on the phone to me all the time. Like, their offering and service went above and beyond. And it was so much more than I know I would have gotten if I was in the mainstream system. Their support, and now our beautiful bond and friendship that's developed as a result since as well, has just been so invaluable.
Amazing. Wow.
Yeah.
Little baby girl wanted to do it her way, huh?
Oh yeah.
Wow. And just that amazing ability you had to trust. Mm-hmm. I mean, trusting her, trusting yourself, your own intuition, that is incredible.
And to be supported as well, to have community.
Couldn't do it without the community, but you do what you've got to do, and I'm just so grateful that she's here and teaching us, and still, you know, she's a happy and now, you know, very healthy, all things considering, little girl that will have a big story to tell.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Lots to be grateful for and celebrate on this 1 year anniversary. That's so cool. So awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Nicola, for sharing this with us and, you know, community, being a part of our community, you know, being a part of Doing It at Home, and now being able to contribute in this way with your story to other mothers and families who I know will be inspired and see some of themselves or get an idea or feel affirmed. You know, any and all of that is possible through doing something like what you've done today, you know, very bravely and authentically sharing your story. So thank you so much from us as well as all of our listeners.
Yes, we are very, very grateful. Thank you.
Oh, no, thank you guys. I so appreciate the opportunity to share. And you guys, as I said, were a pivotal part of the decision that I made to have a home birth, and I would definitely do it all again. And I just hope that maybe someone who listens is inspired to pursue their dream and organize that home birth for them too, because it's such a special moment. And it's been awesome. So thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Quick note about the Doing It at Home podcast. Matthew and I are not doctors or medical professionals, and nothing we say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. If you have medical or health-related questions, please take them to a trained professional. We're here simply to entertain you with stories and conversations about pregnancy, birth, and parenthood.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved, Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.